We begin with the situation in India. It's still reeling from a series of terrorist attacks that led to standoffs in Mumbai. For the latest, we just spoke with Rahul Tandon, who's a BBC India correspondent in Mumbai, with the latest.
Yes, I'm outside the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel, and there we've just seen gunfire coming from within the hotel. We've heard explosions, many of them in the last 5 to 10 minutes. We're not sure how many militants are actually inside the hotel, inside the Taj Mahal Palace at the moment, but it does appear they were at the final stages here. There seems to be a gunfight going on between whoever's holed up in there and Indian security forces.
BBC correspondent in Mumbai, Rahul Tandon, who says final stages perhaps in Mumbai, but major implications for South Asia and relations between Pakistan and India. Joining us now are former permanent representative of the United Nations from Pakistan, Munir Akram, and MJ Gohel, who's the executive director of the Asia-Pacific Foundation, a security and intelligence think tank in London. Thanks for joining us, to both of you, gentlemen.
My pleasure.
Munir Akram, Ambassador, if you could first respond to suggestions from the Indian Foreign Minister that there were elements in Pakistan or external elements that may have been responsible for this attack. I don't want to, you know, put words into his mouth, but it seems that on some level the accusations are beginning as early as this morning.
Well, you know, this is almost a Pavlovian reaction from India. Every time something goes wrong in India, Pakistan is blamed. I remember even when the plague broke out in Gujarat, some Indian officials started blaming Pakistan for that. So I think one has to see the situation on the ground. These are boys or people who declared that they are from the Deccan Mujahideen. It's obviously an indigenous group, and there are so many indigenous problems in India, so many divisions. The Muslims are at the bottom of the socio-economic class. There are huge resentments. There are oppression. There are acts of pogroms that have happened against them. And anger, obviously, is now turning to resistance and some sort of organized resistance. So I think it's a very, very difficult to make a connection straight away with external forces.
MJ Gohel, what's your assessment of what Ambassador Akram is saying and your assessment of how the security authorities in India have handled this so far?
Well, I think it's very early at the moment to come to any kind of conclusions. But I think this idea that there is some group called the Deccan Mujahideen is ridiculous. The fact is that no such group even exists. Before an attack, well-established groups do keep changing their names. A Pakistani group known as Harkat-e-Mujahideen changed its name to Harkat-e-Ansar, then changed it back to Harkat-e-Mujahideen again, then called itself Al-Faran, and so on. The name means absolutely nothing. What matters is the modus operandi, and the modus operandi here is of a Al-Qaeda-linked Islamist group which wanted to perpetrate terror on a mass scale. It was multiple coordinated attacks. These are the fingerprints of a global jihadi group. Now, as far as the Pakistani connection is concerned, unfortunately, there is a long history of this. I mean, one can go back in time to 1989 when cross-border terrorism started in Pakistan and the militants were coming over across the border. It's an established fact. Subsequently, Asif Muhammad Hanif and Omar Khan Sharif, two British Pakistanis, ended up as suicide bombers in May 2003 in Tel Aviv in Israel. Then there was a July the 7th bombings in London in 2005. British Pakistanis were involved in that.
Let's get a response from the ambassador.
I mean, none of that is true.
This is not an occasion to launch a diatribe against Pakistan. India has got to look at its own problems. You're suppressing the Muslims for 60 years. Pogroms against them. What do you expect them to do? They will respond. They will organize against them. And it does not require a Pakistani hand. There are 120 million Muslims in India. And they have the same resentments against the oppression and discrimination they suffer as other Muslims. You don't need and the hallmarks of modus operandi. What about the Tamil Tigers? They have the same modus operandi.
All right, MJ Gohil and Ambassador Akram, let me tee up what the foreign minister of Pakistan said in comments intended to be condolences to the government of India, that he's trying to build bridges between Pakistan and India. MJ Gohil, do you think this is possible at this point? And what should these two countries be most concerned about in the aftermath?
Well, I think bridges need to be built, and I think they can be built. But the problem is that, on the one hand, there's a democracy in India, and there has been one for the last 60 years. In Pakistan, democracy keeps getting derailed by the military intervening. The last time the Indians put out a hand of friendship was when Bajpai, the Indian Prime Minister, went on his bus diplomacy to Lahore to talk to the Indian Prime, to the Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif. At this very same time, their Chief of Army Staff, General Musharraf, was planning the Kargil invasion of India. And this is what happens: is that the Pakistani military keeps interfering.
Let's get a response from the ambassador.
I mean, even President Zardari has said that.
John, you want to listen to this historical distortions? Give me a chance to respond.
No, please, go ahead.
First of all, I mean, there, throughout history in India, Pakistan, the provocations, I'm not saying have been one-sided, but definitely there have been provocations from India. They're the ones who attacked East Pakistan, broke us up. They are the ones in 2002 deployed the army and threatened to march against Pakistan. They have tried to bully us for 60 years. I think that Pakistan, as a state, has responded, has resisted the domination of India. That is absolutely true. But to say that every attack, every act of terrorism in India should be laid at the door of Pakistan, and that the military dictatorship is the only reason that India is different. India's democracy is a hollow democracy. It's a democracy which keeps 90% of the people poor and downtrodden. 17 violent insurgencies are taking place in India today.
All right. Well, both of you are making a very strong case from my perspective in tone and in the historical recitation of the sort of violence and counterattacks that have taken place since 1948, that this is a situation that is very much in danger of spiraling out of control, that these events will not be confined to Mumbai. How is that not the case, MJ Gohil?
Well, India has suffered from terrorism, as I said, since 1989. Mumbai itself has suffered attacks six times since 1993.
Right, but how does this not get out of control, spiral out of control, become a major regional escalation?
Well, this is going to be obviously a lot more difficult in the sense that if there are further attacks in other cities, then there obviously will be a reaction. One hopes that there will not be any further attacks. And it's really a question of the intelligence and security services being able to penetrate any potential plot.
Right. But MJ Gohil, isn't it also on the responsibility of the Indian government to maybe preemptively suggest that maybe what we need is a bilateral Indian government, Pakistani government condemnation of terror at the outset, so that at least the governments are above the fray here a little bit?
Well, yes, absolutely. In fact, the Pakistani foreign minister is in India at the moment. There have been secretary-level talks between the two countries, and some progress is being made. Unfortunately, whenever these attacks take place, it tends to derail that dialogue. And what's obviously needed is a certain amount of confidence-building measures between the two countries.
Okay, well, let me get a final response from Ambassador Akram. Munir?
I think that what you need is to acknowledge that there is a socio-economic problem in India which gives rise to the resentments and resistance from the Muslim youth. And until you address those socio-economic and political issues that affect the Muslims, you will continue to blame external hands in the problems of India, and you will not solve them.
Well, it's a lively debate. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us, and we definitely want to have you back to discuss this, because much more to take place between now and
Actually,
unfortunately, we don't have time. MJ Gohil is Executive Director of the Asia-Pacific Foundation, but we'll have you back. It's a security and intelligence think tank in London, and Munir Akram is the former permanent representative to the United Nations from Pakistan, talking about the regional implications of the attacks in Mumbai, the implications of which are still being sorted out at this hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.